Thank you. So I'm Melissa Morira, just like what she said, but I'm also part of the AFSA Youth Platform, which I'm representing here, and I'm from Zimbabwe. So just to build on what the previous speakers were talking about, the inequality, now we move on to youth participation, at the same time addressing intergenerational inequalities. So we as the global young people, we are facing the same problem where we are always invited on the tables just to be there. They take pictures of us, they say the young people were there, but we are not saying anything. Our voices are not being heard. We are not making the decisions on the table. We are just there for the sake of being there representing, not fully participating on that. So just to move on to understanding intergenerational learning so as to reduce inequalities, I'll just maybe start by explaining the intergenerational. It's a process of sharing knowledge between different age groups where we, the young people, need the advice, the knowledge that our elders have. Taking a look at the climate crisis right now, for us, we feel like the elders have failed us. They have already failed us. But we don't want to fail the next generations. How do we do that? We need to tap onto the knowledge, the indigenous knowledge that our elders have, how the ecosystem used to be like before, and how do we then improve on that to make sure that the next generations to come, who have a sustainable environment, who have sustainable food systems on the globe. So to reduce this, just like what Simon was talking of, he made an introduction to agroecology. And he said, it is a movement, it's a science, and it's also a practice. So how do we then make sure that we strengthen the nexus between the intergenerational inequality with agroecology? We need the knowledge transfer, because alone we cannot achieve anything. We don't know much. It's only our elders who have that knowledge, who have the systems of how the environment used to be like before, how they used to conserve the biodiversity. That was before industrialization. So for us as the young people, we feel like we cannot do this alone, but rather we need guidance from our elders and we need the knowledge to do that so that we can then see how we can synergize our ideas together with the existing knowledge systems around protecting the ecosystems and protecting the environment. We have preservation of biodiversity and indigenous crops. We all have our own indigenous systems that used to exist before industrialization. And in Africa, we have what we call the small grains, the indigenous crops. And right now, most of them are going into extinction. We have seen globally how different species of animals, different species of the biodiversity, some of them, they are going into extinct. How do we then protect the ones that we are left with so as to conserve our biodiversity? We need our elders to help us on how to conserve those. Incorporation of modern techniques. The world is changing, and it's changing day by day. The young people, they now have their modern technologies, but we need to integrate those modern technologies with what is already there in the system, the indigenous one that existed before. Then we can pave a way forward on how we can then protect our Mother Earth. We have community-based agroecological resilience. In different communities, in different countries, we have our own unique ways of conserving our surrounding. And what we need as the young people is, of course, we have the ideas, but we then need to know much about those communities. In some countries, they already have documented papers or whatever it is that they have set aside or they've protected for future generations to learn. We all have history. Austria has its own history of the forefathers, of how Austria used to be like. So do we in Africa. But how do we then make sure that we make use of that history? We make use of that documented stuff when it comes to protecting our own environment, integrating that with the modern technology that is there today. Shared environmental ethic. How do we do that? To make sure that there is no inequality between the young people and our elders. I'll then move on to agroecology as an avenue of enhancing intergenerational relationships. We have continuity of culture and history. How do you make sure that there is continuity in the culture, in the history, if the young people do not know how to or what's the culture that is there? And oftentimes they say young people are the future. I say no, we are not the future. We are the current. We are the today. The tomorrow are coming. That's the next generation. But for us, it's for us to make the decisions right now. It's for us to make the change that we want. And we cannot do that if we are not given the space to say what we want or what we feel like are the solutions for us to protect the environment and create a more sustainable future for our children, for our grandchildren, and generations to come. We have exchange of multi-skills. We also have social cohesion and empowerment of young farmers. We have lots of young farmers. Here I have also seen some young farmers who are interested in agriculture. In Africa we have them, but we don't have the number that we want. Why? Because the young people, they feel like agriculture is a dirty thing. There's no money there. And for them, they always like white-collar jobs. After graduating, after college, they feel like I need to find a job where I'll be working in an office. We are not taking the responsibility of producing the food, but only the responsibility of consuming the food. Who is producing that food? It's our elders. If you are not given that opportunity, it means in decades to come, we might not be able to feed the generations to come because we don't have that responsibility of producing. Some of us, we feel like if you ask a fellow young person, where is the food you are eating being produced from? They'll say, in a supermarket. Because to them, they are used to supermarkets. They don't know the importance of farming or a farmer. And this all comes with our elders sitting down with us, educating us, exchanging the knowledge with us on the importance of farming as well as producing food that is nutritious, that is healthy, and also that is environmental conscious. There's enhanced food security. We have increased climate resilience, reduced environmental impacts. So those are some of the avenues. I'm sure Simon talked of some of these on how the agroecology is a part of climate resilience. It's so conscious to the environment, the health of the people. How in control, he talked of food sovereignty. Food sovereignty is all about how in control are you of the food that you're consuming, from production to the consumption, from the seeds to the yield, the harvesting. How much in control are you? Are you dependent on a seed company or you are independent to your own seeds and to your own food? I'll then move on to the challenges. So the challenges that you are facing as the young people when it comes to youth participation, addressing inequality, communication barriers, and technologies. I will give an example of Africa. In Africa, we now have the major language being English, specifically from Zimbabwe. Most of my generation and the younger ones, they believe that for you to be someone who is well-educated or successful, you need to speak English. Yet,
our grandmothers, our grandfathers in the villages, they can't speak English. So that's a barrier, a communication barrier. How do we then communicate with them when we want to tap into the knowledge that they have? There is now a barrier. So in that case, we also need to be empowered, because it's not my problem if I cannot speak my local language. I blame it on my parents. They are the ones who are not teaching me how to speak the other language. Of course, English is good, but what of my local language? How do I communicate with my grandparents so that I can learn and also know the knowledge that I'm supposed to know? The technology gaps. We are in the 21st century. We have differences in our technologies. What they used to know, there is now use of mobile phones and all that internet technologies they are not aware of. So those are some of the challenges we face when we try to engage them. We have support for rural communities, access to land and resources. Simon talked of it. How is that an issue? Globally, we as the young people, we have a challenge, especially when it comes to land, accessing land. We do not have the rights to own land. And that's a challenge. Because for me, in as much as I want to farm, in as much as I want to do something, as long as I don't have land, I can't do that. So those are some of the challenges we are facing. I'll then move on to strategies to enhance youth participation. We need the education system integration with our elders so that we can learn from them and see how we can then integrate our ideas and our knowledge. Documentation is very important. We need to document. I talked of history. I did history at high school. How did I get to know that? It's because it was documented. If we fail to document, it means the generations to come will never know what's good and what's bad. So documentation is very important for us as the young people to know much about our ecosystems as well as our environment, our indigenous knowledge systems, community engagements, as well as technology integration. As I mentioned earlier, that we need to integrate the technologies, modern technologies, together with what used to be there before the modern technology. I also talk of collaborations in between our elders, amongst us as young people globally, so that we can have one voice and one goal. The role of youth in facilitating transition to agroecology. We learn from practice research. I believe that as young people, we have innovative ideas and we also have the capacity to research. And that's where we come in. That's how we can document as well, but with the help of our elders. Practice agroecology. I believe in a person needs to practice what they preach so that others can then follow. Young people, we tend to listen to our fellow because maybe at some point you just understand the language or whatever you can call it. And like if an elder is telling you to do something, you feel like you are being commanded or you are being forced. But if you see it from another young person doing that, you feel so motivated. And you'll be like, no, I'm going to replicate this in my area. I'm going to do the same like what this person is doing. It's because of our young age. So I believe that we can do more and we can create a more sustainable environment. I educate others. Think the business ideas, participate in advocacy. All those things can be done by the young people, but together with our elders. So I'll just talk of the recent summit that we had in Ethiopia. That was about a week ago, 14th to 16th of October. So this was one of our goals as the African youth. After
gathering in Kenya last year, is a few African leaders from 24 countries, we decided to say no. Africa has been facing a lot of challenges when it comes to food sovereignty, when it comes to issues of poverty. How do we then address that? So we then came up with the Thousand Needs Summit, which was the first ever summit on agroecology in food systems. So there we were focusing on four thematic areas, and intergenerational learning was one of them. We had another one is biodiversity conservation. We had technology and innovation. So we as the young people, we are saying we are ready to take action from Africa, and we're calling it the Summit of Solutions because we wanted to come up with the solutions to the current climate crisis, the current food systems crisis. How do we then help our communities to be food secure? Africa is one of the continents, and having millions of people or millions of children dying of malnutrition, yet we have the rich soils, we have the rich seeds, our own indigenous seeds that can feed the people. Of course, we are having seeds from the foreign governments, hybrid seeds, and they say they can feed the people, yet they are failing. If they were so helpful, those hybrid seeds, we would not be saying there's poverty in Africa, no. We need our own solutions. I'll talk of the launch of the book where young people are doing the most of the work. And we called it the Youth Stories of Experiences. It's there online. If you visit our website, our AFSA website, it's there online where young people came together to share their stories of experiences based on the practical work that they're doing on the ground. We had a diverse group of young people, the farmers, the police influencers, the activists, those into media. And from this, we managed to gather their voices as well as their experiences. So I'm just going to read out the demands. We came up with a declaration, and our demands were to advocate for a shift agroecology across Africa's food systems. But I will say, now, since we are here, it's across the world, these food systems. Demand increased investment in agroecology. Promote agroecology as a just climate action. Include agroecology as the central to the CADAP, that is the Kampala Declaration. This one, the CADAP, is a framework which guides the African Union or all African countries on agriculture, and it is always reviewed after every 10 years. And agroecology is not part of that. We want it to be there. Ensure equitable access to land, water, vital resources for youth, small producers, and entrepreneurs to drive agroecological innovation. And also strengthen political dialogue. So those were some of our demands, and we managed to submit that to the African Union. So I say together as the global young people, we can make a change. We just want the space that we want. We want to meaningfully participate, not to be invited to attend events. We want to say our voices. Thank you.